PMM Docker to Podman in development environment, where I will be talking about what kind of issues I had when started as the engineering manager developer at Percona. I actually use Podman all the time. I like OpenSUSE, Tumbleweed. I try in MicroS as well, and Podman is over the place in OpenSUSE as well. It's actually where I got introduced to Podman first time, was SUSE, and I love it since then. You can interrupt me, ask me questions, because talk is around 25 minutes. I think I will be able to cover something just online. Myself, Denis Kondratenko, previously worked at SUSE, right now at Percona, engineering manager, trying to stay a little bit closer to the technology. I was working in SUSE storage, now Percona monitoring and management. A little bit of introduction, like to give you some context, what I will be talking about and why I have these ideas and issues and whatnot. So Percona, it's leading provider in the services, managed services, as well as developing open source databases like MySQL, MongoDB, Postgres, and others. So we also provide a really great software to troubleshoot and figure out what is going on with your database. One of the slogans of Percona and our purpose is actually keep open source open, so we completely open source. Remote first company. Right now, after the pandemic, it's maybe not that distinguished point, but before the pandemic, it was really great to have to be able to work remotely for the company, and Percona is all remote. Percona have different tools, for example, our own distribution of databases, as well as operators for deploying the databases in the Kubernetes. So we have DBS solutions, we have the Percona monitoring management solution, and all of these tools are get together in the Percona platform where we can we would like to integrate your single pane of glass to your infrastructure, to your databases and their performance. Percona monitoring and management, which will be in this talk, I will use it as example. We use that to monitor the health of your databases and different services as well as nodes. Everything that you expect from the monitoring. At least we have a little bit difference there is that our differentiator is query analytics. So we analyze how good your database performing. So PMM, a little bit of the project. It's a client-server application. It has the Grafana interface. So we modify code a little bit to fit our needs. It's located here. Open source, as I said, looks like that, if you're curious. So that's usual monitoring tool, but the only thing that is different is this query analytic where it shows you where you have the bad queries, how much time the query took, and where you can optimize. So this is a standard Grafana interface, so which we use inside. And you can find it out in GitHub. It's open source from the beginning. There is a little bit of architecture, how to contribute. I will stop by on this architecture. So the PMM, one of the main distribution points is a Docker container. Sorry? The Docker container. So in this Docker container, we have tightly coupled services running. And that was the architecture choice on that time, just because to enable DBAs and other DevOps people to actually run everything in one container. Do not think about different services, but run that as the application in one container and be able to troubleshoot your databases, to be able to monitor your services. And that led to highly tightly integrated container where we have different databases like ClickHouse, like Postgres, like Nginx to actually expose that. And instead of Prometheus, we use Victoria Metrics as time series database. And that's all packed in one container over here. Except that Docker, we also support cloud, so you can have the virtual image, which you can run on Amazon and or locally, whatever. And that actually complicates the thing, so how this image built both for Docker and the virtual machines. And here we come. So that was the intro, how it looks like from outside, inside. So PMM development, PMM itself, it's Golang, client-server application. Quite complicated as well, because you have different services to manage. You have a lot of databases to actually troubleshoot, and et cetera. So it means that you, as a developer, also need quite complicated environment, right? You run your application, OK, but then you need to bring up a couple of services, databases, and whatnot to actually get the data from them and back and forth to test it, right? So the testing environment and development environment is quite complicated. For example, we use Docker Compose quite heavily, at least just historically. So that's like, for example, this is a development container. It just spins the development environment in terms of it takes already pre-built container, spins it out, and you build locally. This volume mounts to the container, and you just replace the needed services. You just replace needed services online and reboot them, and that's how you develop, right? You develop new functionality, upload it to the container, and then it start to work inside. And that's just Docker Compose to run the service, but to run the environment, it's even more than, like, we have different databases, test databases, MySQL databases, all running together, Mongo, all of these services running just to get some real data going on. So all of this is quite complicated setup in the first place. And how we build it is a couple of ways. We have make files, so you just do make environment up, and it brings you environment. And inside of this make, there is Docker Compose running that just do the Docker Compose up, or for example here, right, or like Docker exec running, and it just execute the new pre-built service inside the container. And that's not all. This is not all our tool zoo, because we also have external exporters that's running on the node or externally to the databases. And what they do is capturing the data from the database or around it and push it to or pull it. Depends how your Victoria Metrics works. It pulls the data from the exporter. And for example, MongoDB exporter, which we have in Procona, use Go Releaser to build the packages, build binaries, and build container. So that's another thing you need to run locally. The Go Releaser actually use Docker. It has Podman support, I believe, but it's enterprise feature or something. So that's one obstacle on the way through for me, as I do not have Docker in the development environment to actually run it. And like Docker Compose for tests could be quite complicated. Here is like MongoDB exporter Docker Compose, and you can see how many services we have, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, because it's replicated MongoDB running there. And it's all getting set up in fancy way. Like we implement a lot of workarounds inside the Docker Compose, so everything starts up and start talking to each other. And yeah, this is quite big and complicated Docker Compose that we use for testing, which I also, as a developer, need to run. And that's even not all, right? So you have your container running, but when you go to release this image, you need to actually start from scratch, clean everything up, get all the sources, build RPMs from sources, create new container based on the vanilla CentOS or something. And for those, we use bash scripts. So all of this shows up, just to show you up what kind of zoo we have to, as a developer, to handle, right? It's like, I need, if you have Docker, this actually, all of this environment is expecting that you have Docker, you're running Docker, and it's, then you just run make, and everything happens magically. But for me, as the, for example, new guy that wants to try it with Podman or for like open source developer coming and trying to contribute, if I don't have Docker, things start to be complicated, right? And here I will show you how complicated other things. So why I want to use Docker, right? Before me, there was a talk about the clean environment. Why I want to use containers in the first place. Before me, there was the talk about the clean environment, and that's what I also try to achieve, right? I don't want to set up too many tools inside my machine. I would like to run everything in container, so if my development environment changes, it only changes there. Or like if I'm testing something, I do not mess up with the side effects because I installed some library that actually will not be in the release and that will break something. I also would like to run it as rootless. Currently, all of this stuff is running in root mode. And I would like to think about the open source, as I said, that like if people come to develop PMM, how they will run this, right? How they will run it with Docker or Podman or whatever tools they choose. So what is Podman? I think majority of the people know that this container engine that's actually running the Open Container Initiative containers. So that's like one standardized environment and specification follow all of this from the beginning. It also operates on the pod, which is a little bit better abstractions than containers when you can run a lot of containers in one pod when the Docker operates with separate containers. There is really nice podcast I listened last year. I recommend everyone to listen it as well. It's with creators of Podman, Daniel Walsh and Brent Bode. So I have a link in my presentation. Highly recommend it. Go ahead and find out more. I think since then they already released version 4, which has most of the features they took in there. And also Podman right now pushed really hard by Red Hat. If you will see their articles, their blog posts, how they do that in CentOS and RHEL, a lot of documentation how to run application in Podman. So it looks like that will become some kind of default method to run containers in, or maybe already did, I don't know. Actually, I'm not in the sync with that, but I think this is will be maintained and keeping a good shape by RHEL, and but by Red Hat, and also the community around it is quite strong, and the development is going quite rapidly. So Podman is a really nice tool, and set of tools actually, not just Podman. Setting up it's easy, just install it like Zipper install, DNF install, whatever. I would need for this experiment is Docker Compose as well. Docker Compose is actually external, I think it's Python script that just talks to the Docker socket. And Podman, they also have socket. Here I am actually starting this Podman socket, which actually implements the API, Docker API that Docker Compose just will use. So Docker Compose doesn't care what it talks to. It could talk to the Docker daemon, or in this case, it will be talking to Podman. This socket, it starts automatically when you do some request to that. So, Another thing to consider using Podman is kube generate play. It's actually quite interesting feature. I actually have a lot of thoughts about that. It has a great potential to use the same manifest locally with Podman doing the kube play or play kube, I think, and play kube on your local machine, and then use the same on CI/CD pipeline in the Kubernetes, for example. So the Podman could do that as well, generate, for example, you start in some environment pod, adding their containers, connecting them, it working, okay, generate the pod, and you have the Kubernetes manifest. So let's try to implement all of this, to use Podman instead of Docker. It's in documentation of Podman, they are CLI compatible, right? So the same command exists in Podman than in that in Docker, right? So they're completely compatible. So even in documentation, they start with, okay, that's what you need, right? If you want to replace the Docker, just alias it, and that's all. Let's see if it's actually the case, because we have a different environment here. So first of all, I try to elicit it and make environment up to see if I can really start it. And unfortunately, I started to see the issue. And first issue was Unix socket connect. So actually, Docker Compose, it goes to the hard-coded path and tries to see where is Docker running. We already have a socket, but it's names a little bit differently. So the way to work around this is just use the localhost variable, environment variable, which I did, and I can go to the next stage. Okay, now I ended up with another error. It's not longer the socket, it's the error resolve image name. So it says that short name resolution is not supported. That because in Docker Compose files, we use like percona server tag something, or like percona lab tag something. And that means that the policy is set up in the way for registry that you need to actually full the main name, right? You need to say, is this Docker Hub or Docker.io, or it's Quay.io, Key.io, or some other repository. So this is quite nice new feature, because like before, Docker was assuming there is only one repository, right? And that's when those Docker files were written, they were working with Docker, but with Podman it doesn't, right? So here I have the variable that I pass to the Docker Compose. But another way to do it is actually to go to the etc container registries conf, and you can preload your configuration with aliases, saying that, okay, this short name should alias to this repo. And then it will also work. So you either do it through the environment variable or config. Then it's failed on privilege port, because we have 80 port open and I'm running rootless. Okay, then I just need to change it in the Docker Compose to 8080, for example, or 4443 or something, which I did. And now it's failing a different way. So you see, that's like I'm trying to show you what was my path to use Podman instead of Docker. And that's all the Docker Compose specification, which I had the trouble even running Docker in the past, because they have a different versioning. In this version, they have one set of features, and that's another set of features. Here in particular example, we use column here to specify security option. And Docker way, I mean, not Podman way, and maybe more standard ways to use the equal sign. And probably during the time Docker was implemented, they actually couldn't decide what they need to use, and they implemented both. So actually, it understands column and equal as well. So if you will change it to equal, it will work for both for the Docker and Podman. I did that. And now I'm failing again. So Docker Compose actually brought up all the environment. And then it came to the phase in makefile when it tried to Docker exec inside the container and run some of the commands there. And in makefile, it's exactly Docker exec, right? There is this line, Docker exec, blah, 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 blah. And unfortunately, makefile are not respecting those aliases that you have in your system. So the way to overcome that is kind of maybe parameterize your makefile. So it will not be Docker exec, but some kind of CLI, container CLI exec. Or maybe you have wrapper script container run and instead of Docker. But I did it quickly. I just linked Podman and Docker, and it started to work. Makefile then worked up. Oh, yeah, and it's running. So it took me, I think, 30, 40 minutes to investigate all the issues, figure out what I need to do. Go releaser actually were working fine. Docker Compose also was working fine with those minor tweaks. Go releaser needed only the also socket pushed through, so Go releaser doesn't care what kind of engine you use as well. It's success, but not fully, because on one system it was working, another system I had a C Linux, and it wasn't. So you also need to make sure you are sharing your volumes correctly. So either big Z option, which makes the ownership of volume, or small Z when you have, for example, in Docker container, on Docker Compose file, they have a couple of Mongo accessing the same volume, and they need access that, and that is small Z that you would need to use there. So after that, on two systems I had, everything was working. Is it done? No. Unfortunately, that's only development environment I have. So that's now I would like to, and the development environment is based on my old container, right? It's some kind of stable container or something. But if I would like to actually test it fully on the integrational testing system or something, I need to build the new container right from scratch. So I would like to build the clean container. And that has some obstacles as well, just because, as I showed you before, this infrastructure that we have inside one container is a little bit tight, right? So we have a lot of services that we need to pack, and we're doing that installing RPM, configuring the services, starting some of the services, for example, Postgres, Altera, so it's will initialize, and after that, pushing it down, and that is done container. For that, we use Ansible. The one before Ansible, the one minor tweak I needed to do is use NS keep ID, and also the same issues with the volume permissions on those scripts that run Docker, Docker build, Docker exec. So that I fixed as well. The Ansible was harder because our container was based on CentOS 7 that day, and the Ansible version there is quite old. It doesn't know about Docker. It just know about it doesn't know about Podman. It just know about Docker. Lately, after that, a lot like a couple of years ago, they added support. So you have some virtualization type container or something. So, but for myself, I found myself trapped because Ansible doesn't know about the Podman what I do, and I needed to create another Docker file, which where when Ansible runs, I just push environment there that okay, pretend that you are Docker. Run all of the stages for Ansible like it is a Docker. Nginx I needed to fix again because it runs on 80 ports. And that's actually gave me the build container, which was really cool. And as a summary, like experiencing all of this, I am questioning myself like why it should be for other developers the same trouble, right? So I am thinking, how we can make the life easier for other developers to come, like to the Percona and onboard them, or OSS developer to come and actually use this, because I have quite nice experience with other projects where I can go there, just make, and it works with Podman or it works with Docker, doesn't really matter, right? It just makes it. So the summary is that like CLI is really compatible, right? Docker and Podman. There are minor tweaks just because of the Docker Compose specifications. And I think if we parameterize our builds better in our scripts, then it will make it work much better. There are other tools over there to automate all of these stages, like Dev Container, and we have that. And if you know any other, please suggest, because I will be interested to learn something new. Maybe I will use that in our production. But the question there is like, Dev Container works mostly with VS Code. I mean, there is Dev Container CLI, but we don't like our developers use. Who use Vim, who use the VS Code, some people use Golang. I mean, that doesn't really matter how it runs. So it would be cool to have some good tools that will work for everyone. And Kubernetes makes all things even worse because you have another environment to run. And I think that could PlayCube looks really promising and interesting when you have one set of manifests to run both containers, container environment for you, as well as running on the Kubernetes. So look at it. Here is some next step. I think what I will do is to figure out, parameterize everything so people start building something with Make, and they do not need to think about it, right? It will detect what kind of system you have, Podman, Docker, netctl, and just do it. That's what I'm planning to do. I'm a little bit over time, I think. Thank you for your attention. I am here all the day. Please ask me question. Go ahead to contribute to PMM if you're interested in monitoring. Meet me and advise me on the techniques for development environment. I will listen carefully. I'm actually really interested how maybe you are doing that. And you find out this presentation with all the links on this URL, and as well as in my event presentation event, you can find the link as well for this presentation. Thank you. Sorry, I'm a little bit off time, I think.